Good morning to you all, and I was asked if, why do I get nervous, but I always do. When you're sharing the Word of God, I believe there's a responsibility on you to share it as the Lord would want it. And I'm reminded this morning that we have people who come up here and lead us in praise and worship every Sunday, and I personally am blessed each Sunday by them leading us in praise and worship, and I just want to thank them for the heart and the perseverance that they have to lead us in praise and worship. And I'm sure that I speak to you for all of us here. Last week, Andrew was sharing on from Romans, and he was talking about the corporate and individual responsibility. The corporate responsibility of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament as it were, and the individual responsibility that we have for our lives in the New Covenant. And I must admit, I looked around at the country I live in and said, I'm truly glad that we're not part of the corporate responsibility anymore. And that we have a personal responsibility that we can move away from that, because otherwise we'd be in serious trouble. So anyway, that's a personal thought. We have a choice to, all of us have a choice to serve Jesus. And we have a choice to accept His grace, accept His love, accept the mercy that He gives us. And we have the choice not to. And for all of us here, as I stand before you this morning, I know that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. I know that you're born again. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time in dealing with being born again. But it's just to encourage you that the Lord knows our weaknesses. He knows who we are. You cannot hide who you are from the Lord. And the interesting thing is that the Lord doesn't really work in our lives when we are strong. He works in our lives when we are weak. I know it's a bit of an upside down to what it is upside down to what the world wants. Well, no, hold on. Maybe the world is upside down. But Jesus Himself has compassion for us. He knows us. And He wouldn't have done what He did on the cross if He hadn't had that compassion and love for each and every one of us. And I just want to read a couple of scriptures just to reinforce that. And the first scripture is from Galatians 2, verse 20. And it's just a word before we actually start, as it were. Galatians, it's in here somewhere. Right, if I read from Galatians 2:20, it says here, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And the second reading is in Romans 8, verse 2. It says, I read from verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And sometimes we don't really pay attention to the words that Jesus speaks, or Paul speaks, or Peter, or any of the apostles. And Andrew again was talking about the word, and we have the word in front of us. And so for me, a scripture that came to mind, the Lord put on my heart some time ago, and I must admit I had a very much closer look at it. And what is Jesus actually saying to us? Because in the Bible, where it's in red, I pay probably a little bit more attention. Well, I think I do, but I don't always. And so I want to ask you if you could turn with me to Matthew 11, verse 28. It's not a new piece of scripture. It's not something that we don't know, but maybe we just need to be reminded about what we're talking about. And that is, reading from verse 28, the Lord says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am a gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when we say, there are two verses here, verse 28 and verse 29. And there are two different parts of what the Lord calls us for. The first part, he says, come to me, you who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And the second part, it says, if you take my yoke upon you and learn from me, you will find rest for your souls. Why does he say it twice? Very simply, because he talks about two different parts of our lives. The first part, he talks about when we believe. He calls us. It's a gift. He calls us. We get born again. We become part of his family. We become saved. We have a place in heaven reserved for us. And then the second part, it says, take my yoke upon you. And so the first part, when we talk about it, it says, come unto me. And it's trying to put it in a different way. In Acts 16, you know, the scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There's a lot of scripture that says the same. So when Jesus says, come unto me, he says, believe in me and you will be saved. So we get saved. We get born again. We come to the Lord because we've got guilt or sin or the pressures of this world, the cares of the world, trying to make your way in the world, trying to become self-righteous, religious. And Jesus here was talking to people who understood the yoke, when we go back to the yoke of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, where the yoke was something not to be desired. Because it talked about the yoke of the law. It talked about the yoke of the regulations for what had been the laws of the Pharisees and Sadducees, everybody put in place, which were impossible to live by. They talked about the way you had to give. It's the Old Covenant. But that man has added to what God wants. And God wants it from the heart. And Jesus has come and allowed us to serve God from the heart. He's called us. So we get born again. And when we're in the world, we do have the cares of the world. I call it the cares of the world. And we come to Jesus. We get born again. We get saved. That is not the end of the story, as I'm sure all of you know. And for me this morning, it's to encourage you. It's a reminder of the fact that Jesus asked us to take his yoke upon us. And as I said, the yoke is something that in the Old Testament wasn't something that you desired. But what Jesus is suggesting is, take me, my yoke, what I have for you, compared to what was there before. All the laws and things like that. I'm going to be careful about saying we. Have at one stage of our lives been self-righteous, been religious, been caught up in the ritual and ceremony of religion. And that is not what the Lord wants of us. And you know, we can be in a place where we're not looking at the scripture and understanding what the Lord is saying to us, and that we can't just get born again. We can't stay where we are. Andrew has this saying. He said, you come as you are, but you can't stay as you are. And that applies to you and me when we get born again. We can come as we are, but we cannot stay as we are. The Lord requires something more of us. And all of this, please, is not a command. It's an invitation from the Lord to all of us, saying, come. Take my yoke upon you. You can take it as you want. But it's not a command. It says, I'm offering it to you. Take my yoke. You can choose to take his yoke or not take his yoke. What I mean by his yoke, and we are required to become more Christ-like in our walk each and every day. We are not called to stay where we are. We are called to grow. We are called to seek him. We are called to spend our time, hopefully more than a little, in seeking him, in reading his word and understanding what he wants of us. And so many Christians today believe that being born again is enough. Okay, I'm born again, that's me done. I've been pardoned from my sin. The Lord has sacrificed his life for me so that I can say I'm born again and I can carry on with my lifestyle the way I used to live. Now, I think that for most of us, when we get born again, the Lord changes lots of things. But we still cling to some of our old life. And One of the problems with church today, once you get born again, they don't want to be told that they're still sinners. They don't want to be told that they still need repentance. They don't want to be told that they still need to forgive. They are told that they're okay where they are. They can continue with their lifestyles and be where they want to be. And you get, instead of the good news, you get 10 steps to how to be a fulfilled Christian. You get 5 steps to how to live a holy life. And a lot of them are nothing to do at all with the scripture. And we need to be very, very careful that Jesus didn't just pay the penalty for our sin to say, I'm saved, I'm fine, I can carry on as I want. The Lord does require something of us. And this morning, I don't want to condemn you. I don't want to do anything except encourage you to say that the Lord has got so much more for us. And we cannot embrace what He has for us if we are not prepared to be sanctified. Lovely word. Most of you know what I mean by that. It's the journey that we have, once we get born again, the journey that we have to becoming more Christ-like each and every day. Is it an effort? Does it take a little bit of, I would say, diligence, discipline? Yes, of course it does. Nothing worthwhile in this world. I mean, we've all grown up in the world. We've all toiled and strived in the world. And you always have to work for it. How many? No, I'm not going to ask. A lot of you have got degrees and diplomas, and you've got all sorts of things. This I find in this country that I have a lot of experience in a very particular field. I don't have a certificate that says I'm very good at it. That's me too. You understand what I'm saying? But that matters not. In the Christian world, you're not going to get a certificate saying, hey, I'm sanctified. Because until the day you die, well, I won't say anything. But we need to make sure that we are in the place where the Lord wants us to be. And one of the things I find listening to guys preaching, they don't want to offend the congregation anymore. Because it's almost like a consumer. We need to satisfy the consumer. And if you think that way, I think maybe you're in the wrong place. But one of the things that we need to understand is that the word is being preached by many men and women, and they've removed the offense from the word. So there's no conviction, there's no confrontation from the word. The word is not there to make us feel good. It is to bring us joy in observing it and allowing Jesus to grow us, to bring us to a place where we can serve Him freely. We're not talking about serving with religion, serving with where you're forced to. That's not what the Lord wants. He invites us. And when He invites us, the Lord will never take us anywhere where He will not sustain us. He's always there to sustain us. When we say, Lord, yes, I'm available, the Lord will sustain us. He will give us the grace. He will give us the strength. And when we look at 2 Corinthians 5, it says, we are a new creation. We are new. And with all new creations, you've got to spend a little time growing. You can't just stay as you are as a baby. You know, Paul often speaks about, you know, you guys need to get on with it. You're still needing milk instead of getting onto the meat of the gospel. And I think we need to be careful that we don't become comfortable. We don't sit back and go, yeah, we're okay. And what I've learned in my Christian walk is the moment that I sit down and say, yeah, I'm okay, the Lord will sort that out. And let me tell you what, it's normally not that pleasant. You know, so we need to be careful that we don't become complacent. Because by becoming complacent, we can miss what the Lord is saying to us. How many people do you know, and I'm not saying yourself, obviously, but how many people do you know say, well, I don't know what the Lord wants from me. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. I don't know my place in the Lord. Is it because you're not looking for Him? Or is it because you're not listening to Him? Because if you're not listening to Him, and you're not spending time in Him, and you're not talking to Him, how can He tell you? How can you find out? We are inclined, I have been inclined, even maybe today, I have been inclined to quench the Holy Spirit and say, no, Lord, that's not really what my deal is. That's not what I want to do. And the problem with us is once you get born again, we still want to run our lives our way. And the Lord says, take my yoke upon you, and I will look after you. I'm paraphrasing, okay. But you know, the one thing is that, what does the yoke mean? What does the yoke mean? What does the yoke mean to you? The yoke to me is that the Lord wants us to simply surrender. He wants us to submit. We want to accept His lordship in our lives, to give up our own self-will, to get off our throne of self-will and let the Lord sit on the throne of our will. Let Him be in charge. Let Him take the reins. You know, we talk about the yoke, and I've had the privilege many years ago of seeing oxen plowing, a proper team of oxen plowing. And just as Jesus is inclined to use agricultural examples, so will I. And so a team of oxen, if you're putting a wagon, it's normally 16 of them. There's a lot of oxen. But if it's a plow, it's normally 8. In this country, in medieval days, the oxen were used. In later years, more the horses. The question is, if you're looking at the way a peasant lives, or the way farmers lived, not a lot of people need horses. So you need to look at the understanding of why. But when you get a team, it's called a team of oxen, or a pair of oxen, or a yoke of oxen, they are all generally different sizes, different colors, generally the same sort of shape. But when they get put in the yoke, they are, there's a, what's it called, fractious, lovely word. And they wiggle and jiggle and they learn. And you've got to learn where an ox fits, on the left-hand side or the right-hand side, at the front or the back. At the front, if you're the pastor called Gideon, but at the back, if it's not me, but yeah. You understand what I'm saying. There's a place for all of us. And when you set up a team of oxen, there is a place for all of us. They're all different sizes, different. They pull a different way. They suit a different position. And once they've sorted that out, in the morning, you'd have the, I don't know what you call it here, in Navigate, it's called a furlupa. So it's a man who walks in front pulling it back up. Sorry, was that said right? Right accent. But when he get up in the morning, they don't even crack their whip, they whistle, and each of the oxen will just wander out and go and stand in his place, and happy to do it. Put the yoke on and they go, yes, let's go. When they're tired, obviously, the guy will rest them. And good herdsmen or good wagon masters understood exactly what the animals did, could do, did do, where they fitted, how long they could go. And I see that analogy in each one of us as Christians. Each one of us is different. But we still are required to take up that yoke of the Lord. His yoke. And he says, my burden, you know, when you read it, it says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because he understands us. It's not something that is put on us. It's not something that is forced on us. It's an invitation from the Lord. And when we look at verse 28, we are born again, but you don't desire to walk the road that the Lord puts before us. It's like having a foundation, no building. But if you want to serve the Lord and do what He works without being born again, it's like having a building with no foundation. You've got to have the two together for it to work. And we need to be very careful that we ourselves as Christians try to do something in our own strength without allowing the Lord to work in us, without allowing Him to come into our lives and show us where we need to change. We look at Matthew 16:24. And anybody want to recite that to me quick? No, okay. It says, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. And the Lord does require of us an effort. I'll call it a cost. There's a cost for everything. He requires us to lay down our lives and let Him take over. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I certainly put my cross down or take my yoke off and try to do my own thing. But I've learned over the years that the consequences of me trying to run my own life now, I don't really want to go there anymore. Do I get it perfect? Not a chance. Do Do I get it right? Not always. But I want to be in the place where I get it right. Do I have a desire in my heart to follow the Lord for what He wants? You know, the Lord is restoring His church. And I don't just say that from my mouth. But you listen to what's going around, to men who I know their lives, I know what they share. And the Lord is restoring His church. Time is tight, guys. And for me, I don't want to be in a place where I run my own life anymore. I've made too many mistakes running my own life and messing it up badly. And no comments from the men. Okay. But my wife knows. We both are in a place where we want to do what the Lord wants. Do we always do it? No. And the one thing that I find is that the Lord accepts everyone. Whoever wills, let him come. And it doesn't matter about your inexperience, inability, your flawed nature, your flawed character, big, small, little, weak, strong. The Lord does not care. What He wants is that willingness, that heart to serve Him, to say, I will, let Him come. And He says, come to Me. It's an invitation. And it's the same with the yoke. Take My yoke upon you. And we've got to be in a place like we've got to let Him do it His way. For too many years of my life, I've done it my way. And am I going to maybe argue with the Lord? No, we never say that. But sometimes we do argue with the Lord because we try to reason. And a lot of what the Lord puts in our heart has got very little to do with the reason. But if we rely on our self-will, the place where we want to be, you know, the Lord, it's an interesting, a comment from a man, I've got it written down here. It was just a comment from a preacher. He said, faith is not given to us to decide our own lives. And I'll leave that with you. And it's not given to us to claim a better life for ourselves. Faith is given to accept what Jesus has done in our lives and what Jesus still wants to do in our lives. That is why we are given faith. And it's when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's in a nutshell what He wants from us. And it's His way, not our way. You know, we can't serve in a state of sin and unforgiveness and unrepentance. We've been given all these things, and quite often we're inclined to gloss over them. When I say gloss over them, well, that's for the other guys. But all of us need to remember that we need to live a life of repentance, a life of forgiveness, a life of serving, a life of denying ourselves. People do not like this word, deny yourself. I don't like it. There are times when the Lord asks me to do things and we begin to discuss and reason with Him. I mean, where are you going to go? Who can fight God? Please. When the Lord decides He's got His hand on your life, just best thing is just to give up, surrender, and say, Lord, thank You. Because He will take you places that you've never thought to go. 40 years ago, or more, I would never have dreamt I'd be standing here in this country, in this particular... I mean, it's way past any imagining, dream, nightmare, dream, whatever it may be, vision that the Lord puts up. It's beyond my understanding. Truly beyond. And if I try to reason that out, I couldn't. But I can look back and say, Lord, thank You. I can see each step that we've taken and the steps that we have taken without Him. And I can assure you those days were not good. I've shared some of that with you before. It never was never this beautiful, perfect marriage that we have. Never. It's not perfect. It never will be perfect. But I've got to be in a place with my wife. Because as you grow, you think you get to know your wife or your partner. Partner meaning husband, wife. And you think you know them. But as you grow, things change. Your body changes, your hormones change, your hair grows where it shouldn't and doesn't grow where it should. You know, all sorts of things. You don't understand that, you see that. But each and every day you've got to look at your wife or your husband and say, Lord, let me deny myself, because that is only time that you can have that relationship. Relationship, why am I talking about relationship? Sorry. Relationship is not about my way or their way. It's about compromising and doing it their way. Right. Sorry, I just thought I'd mention. But you know, it's we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's our desire, our decision to say, Lord, yes, I want to do it. Are we going to get it right? Not a chance. Are you prepared to take a chance and say, Lord, I'll do it your way? Because we grew up, and we were talking about this last week. I grew up in a place, and I see one or two other people who did too, where there is no AA on the side of the road. There is no electricity. There is no running water. There is no. So if you have a problem, who fixes it? You do. And now the Lord's coming along saying, no, you leave it alone, I'll fix it. Hold on, Lord. Are you going to do it the way I want it? No, he isn't. I can assure you he's not, because he has his own way of doing things. And he looks at us, and I'm sure he just shakes his head sometimes and says, I'm here. And you know, the Lord, we never walk alone. Listening to that song, we never walk alone. But you know what? We can walk alone, but he's always there waiting for us to say, Lord, help. It's like looking, you don't mind, I'll pick on you. It's Ken looking for his dog the other day. And he spends an hour looking for his dog. And eventually he stops and goes, Lord, please find my dog for me. Lord, please, I'm asking you to find this dog for me. And literally finishes, and there's the dog. And he's saying, am I missing something here? No. And for all of us, the problem is that the Lord needs to come first. Before the dog goes missing, Lord, show me where the dog is. Instead of spending an hour looking for the dog. You don't mind me picking up. We've got a friend of ours whose husband is a very serious pastor. And he will be shouting, saying, and I know certain families like this, where are my keys? Where did you put the car keys? What do you... And she won't even hesitate. She'll just say, Lord, please show us where the keys are. Right from get-go, there's no hesitation about saying, Lord, I need you involved in my life. So her get-to is, Lord, show me. And instantly, you'll see where it is. And how many times that happened in your life? But it happens after an hour of struggling on your own. And the Lord's saying, no, I want you to come to me first, not last. And you know, it's an invitation. And we have a lot of promises. When we take his yoke, the Lord is taking us places where trying to do it ourselves is not going to work. We are too, what's the word? We are too set in our ways. We've got certain opinions and thoughts, and this is the way you do things. I guarantee you, if I had to put a particular problem down in front of all you here, there'd be at least 20 different ways of doing it, in your opinion. But the Lord and his word is not an opinion. And in the world that we're moving into now, and I listen to some of the heresy, the apostasy, lovely word, haven't used that for years, that's out there. Let me tell you what, if you don't know the scriptures yourself, you can hear these guys and say, wow, that sounds right. But it's heresy. It's absolutely not what the Lord wants. And I myself am scared of accepting something like that because I don't know what I'm looking at. And I'm not saying that we all have to be theologians. Please, I'm not. And when it comes to the Lord choosing you and using you because you're flawed or you're inept or you don't have the experience, I stand here being grateful, very grateful that is the case. Because it's only when we accept it, are we good at it? I don't know. Are we prepared to do the Lord's work? Are we prepared to allow ourselves to be led by him in what he wants? What he wants is not always what we want. And that's why we're inclined to back off and say, maybe tomorrow. But you know, it's only when we move into that place that we can receive this peace, this joy, this rest. How often have you heard people say, when I got born again, it was so good, I was so fired up, and the Lord was present in all my life, and over the years it seems to have not been the same anymore. How many of you, in your own lives? And you know, very simply, the Lord says, come, take my yoke, and I'll bring you back to that place. Is it going to be perfect? Are there going to be times when the world doesn't intrude on you? And I use the word intrude on you. We have a situation, we retired, we think we're going to park off and sit somewhere in the left-hand row about halfway back. But that's not what the Lord has in mind. Do I feel prepared for it? Do I understand what He wants? No. But I desire to be where He could use me. You know, you look at the 10 virgins. 10 virgins. All of them with the same options, the same availability, the same everything. 5 of them weren't ready. And, you know, that's the Lord's words Himself. You know, we need to be ready. What does ready mean? It's for each of us. We need to say, Lord, show me what You want from me. I accept, I surrender, I submit to Your will. And, you know, we can all get to the stage, well, I can't do this anymore. But, you know, the Lord has said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send My helper. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And so often we do not call on Him. We don't say, Lord, rise up within me. Give me the strength, the grace. Ken shared on grace not so long ago. But you know, grace is like love. It's like justification. It's like sanctification. All these big words. But you know what? They're all just words until you actually accept them. Grace, you can refuse grace from the Lord. You can refuse His love if you want. But for us here, we have accepted that. We've accepted His grace. What we need to do now is to continue to walk in that grace, to walk in that place where the Lord's strength is in us. For I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You know, we've got the promises there in verse 30. He says, My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Compared to the world and the stresses of the world, you lead. Go and read Ecclesiastes sometime. I love old Solomon. You know, he tells us, and you know, he's very true, the striving, the toil that we have, even as born-again people, we strive, we toil. And the Lord's saying, no, I'll do it for you. And my encouragement this morning is that we've been sent the Helper. John 16, go and read John 16. He says, I have sent you the Helper. He'll show you things. He'll teach you. And we need to come back to the place where the Lord is on the throne of our lives, that the self-will is put aside. Are we going to maybe slip and fall? Yes. The Lord doesn't mind that. I look at the life of David. David's heart was for the Lord. He did some really... I mean, I haven't got quite that far yet. Hopefully never. But what I'm saying is, I know who I am. You stand in that mirror and you look in the mirror and you want the old Lord to be honest with you. He'll show you who you are. And that's when you know how much you actually need the Lord. And so we need to be in a place of going, Lord, yes, I surrender. I am submitted to You. I want to live it Your way. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow Me. You know, it's a harsh command if you don't understand that the Holy Spirit comes with it to allow you to live this life that He wants you to live. And so this morning, the Lord says, the Lord didn't come to condemn us, but He says, I come to give you life more abundantly. There's something there that we don't want to give up for more. It's like having £10 in your note, somebody coming back, you give me this £10 note, I'll give you 100. And we go, there must be a trick in there somewhere. But it's genuine. And the Lord is saying, give me that whatever you have. In fact, I don't want it, but I have something for you if you accept it. And that is His grace, His love, the mercy that He shows us. And all through the scriptures, there are promises. And it's the whoever will, let them come. So this morning, that's my encouragement, is to allow the Lord to take us where He wants us to go. To get off our throne of self-will and say, Lord, I surrender, I accept. I'm not saying that we're not there, but I will encourage you to be there more often than not. In fact, He wants us there the whole time. And we're not always going to get it right. And so this morning, that is my encouragement. The Lord wants to use us. The Lord has got a plan and purpose for us. And if we're not in that place of putting the yoke on and picking up our cross and communicating with the Lord, speaking to Him, letting Him speak to us and our fellowship with one another, we're not going to know what He wants of us. And I don't want to be the 5 virgins who didn't get through the door. So I'm not here to condemn, please. It's the grace of the Lord is there for all of us if we want it. Amen. That's all I have for you this morning. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have put everything in place for us, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for the grace, the mercy, and the love that you show us, Lord. Lord, you know exactly who we are. Lord, and when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we can see who we are, Lord. But Lord, you do not see that. As we stand in Jesus, Lord, as we stand with being washed in the blood, Lord, you know who we are. But Lord, you know more so who we can be. And Lord, help us, each and every one of us, to be more Christ-like. Lord, to allow you to bring us to that place where we are fit for purpose, fit for the work in your kingdom, Lord. Lord, that you can use us. Lord, that we can be useful to you. So this morning, Lord, I want to thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence. Thank you for your leading and for your guiding. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.